I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the Power Platform Show. Thanks for joining me today. I hope today's guest inspires and educates you on the possibilities of the Microsoft Power Platform. Now, let's get on with the show.
Hello, guys. So, my name is Andrew Lutenko. I'm Microsoft MVP for the last gazillion of years, pretty much. Let's keep try making jokes even in these terrible times. And I'm here to talk about the situation that is happening around Ukraine, but not specifically to it, because I believe you're like a people who lives on the bleeding edge of technologies and pretty much are staying in sync and pretty much aware what is happening in Ukraine, and no one will say that this is not true. Russia started the terrible war in our country. And to be honest, especially after the news I read during few last days regarding the Bucha massacre, it's really hard to explain or even try to understand why those people, why Russian soldiers are doing it. I'm really speechless. When I saw that, when I read about it, I realized that unfortunately this is the cruel reality we are all living now. And even all of us are thousand kilometers from Ukraine, from Kyiv, from Bucha. Our hearts and our minds are with our Ukrainian brothers and sisters. It's really hard to understand that this is happening in 21st century, but unfortunately it is what it is.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Perhaps the others, do you want to introduce yourselves and where you're currently located? Alexander, do you want to go?
So, hi everyone. My name is Alexander Lashin and I'm Microsoft MVP. Currently, I'm located in Toronto, Canada. And as Andrew said, it's kind of makes us all speechless what we see and what we hear about what is happening in Ukraine. And it's kind of, there are no words to describe it, I would say. So one of the things that I would like to say is, I know it's hard to see those pictures. I know they are horrible, but we need to share, because when people hear about that, when they read about that, it's hard to imagine that. You know, it's just something's happening. So that's why we need to share, so people see and they remember. They never forget what happened and what Ukraine is going through.
So true. Alena, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Alena Grishenko, Microsoft MVP for business applications. I'm currently located in Australia. I'm Ukrainian. Most of my family lives in Kyiv, but we're originally from Eastern Ukraine. And what Alexander just said, I was talking to my mom this morning. She's currently in Germany. They flee to Germany. My mom and my 90 years old granny, who survived, it's her third war in her life. So first the World War II, and then she was in Eastern Ukraine. Then it all started. So she had to flee to Kyiv to stay with my mom for 8 years. And now she's in Germany. And hopefully, fingers crossed, she's going to fly to Australia in 2 weeks. So my mom was telling me the same thing, that she's looking at all those pictures and everything in there. She can't believe it's happening. She still can't believe after a month and a half. She can't believe. She thinks this is a kind of like nightmare. And she just always say, thank you, I'm not there. So it's heartwarming for me to know that we managed this operation to actually rescue them. It was a different story. It's like a spy movie how we did this. And I don't know how my granny survived through this, but yeah.
So Welcome and thank you for coming on the show. And this is definitely a different show than what we would normally do. And I'm keen to let the audience get perspective of Ukrainian people that they know, yourselves that are on the show. And I know that I have other friends from Ukraine as well that I've talked to over recent weeks. And I find myself every day spending hours on certain news sources coming out of Twitter from those on the ground in Ukraine. I look at a lot of Reddit articles as well. But I sense that in the life that goes on around us, there's almost a sense that people are starting to block out that are not there. It's almost like that's a horror movie going on over there that I can't watch and I can't engage with. Yet you guys don't get the opt-out option. How do people continue to stay engaged? And like Alexander, you said, they need to see the images. I've been sharing a lot of images just recently on my Twitter account, and I feel people need to see. They need to be confronted by the harsh reality of the genocide that is going on. They try to eliminate another whole country and culture, but then the barbaric, horrific way that children are being treated, women are being treated, and men, that it's like, how do you understand where these people are coming from that could commit these type of acts against another person, another human, another defenseless human? How do people that are outside the Ukraine that don't know people from the Ukraine, how do they get educated on what is going on in our world right today, right this weekend, just gone past the horrific, you know, discoveries made as the Russian have retreated from certain towns? How do they stay like educated? Because I think there is a need to really stay educated at this time.
Mark, can I say, please, if I may, there are lots of fake news, and it's very difficult to keep this critical thinking, because there are lots of lies, and Russia builds everything on lie. So they are very good at it, and they are very good at gaslighting people. And my friend Leon asked me what to read, or he started sending me all those links he's reading and watching, and I specifically gave him resources for the Ukrainian news. So if you can show, yes. I will send you the link. If you can show to people these links, which we have Pravda Ukraine resource, Pravda of Ukraine, and the Truth of Ukraine, and he usually reads Ukrainian with English translation because it's most of up to date. It's chronological, so you can see by hour. And yeah, I think it's very important that they listen and read Ukrainian sources, not just Russian sources, which are all a lie. So
I would say, if you want to understand what the truth is, just check what Russian propaganda writes and just reverse everything. That's pretty much, I don't know, has any one of you read, I believe that many of you read, like, how it is called, Alice in Lewis Carroll, Alice, not in the...
Through the looking glass.
So that's quite an analogy. So no operation, no bombing cities means war, means bombing cities. Not killing civilian people means killing, raping, and getting a lot of loot. So that's pretty much it. So if you want to understand what the truth, just read the Russian news and think opposite, pretty much.
Except for the article which I was reading this morning about how they're going to denazificate the whole nation. They're going to just, the genocide they're planning to do for my country. And this article, you just read as it is, and it just says literally what they're going to do to us. And it's a Russian, it's Russian government resource published it on the internet. I doubt that they didn't get approval to publish. And it's a long, long article explaining in details what they're going to do to all
Churchill,
of us.
I believe that Churchill said that fascists of the next generation will call themselves anti-fascists. That is exactly what is happening.
I wanted to say that I would advise to check the Kyiv Independent. So they basically start as a small startup and they are right now grow really big and they are covering news independently. So a lot of journalists on the site. So they are frequently having pictures and they're also in English. So they try to gain, global audience. So it's really important to see.
Yeah. We'll make sure we include all these links in the show notes so people don't have to look them up. You can just click on them and go through those. Now, just one thing when we talk about information at this time, because hopefully you'll send through a couple of different channels, not just websites, but whether it's key Twitter accounts, whether it's key Reddit resources, et cetera, that people can go and get educated on. I read yesterday that Tor, which is the dark web, right, which is the web layer below the web layer, if you like, that we engage with, that Anonymous, the hacker group, are releasing terabytes of data onto that network, not only in English, et cetera, but Russian as well, so that the Russian people that want to get the truth and not deal in the propaganda, which is seem to have gone through the roof in the last 3 months, and sorry, in the last 30 days. I have a friend that is in Russia, in Moscow. I've eaten dinner with him in Moscow, and he's very educated. He's lived a long time outside of Russia, yet I have noticed the transition with him of not believing the propaganda to becoming more open to the propaganda that is now spreading in Russia. And so I saw that as another news source where, every military person from Russia that is in Ukraine has been published online. And I looked yesterday, there were photos where they come from, what province, etc. And particularly in the towns that are recently, that they've been withdrawn from, the military units that were in there. So I think it's important that these people are exposed individually for their war crimes, that they are committing as well. And another thing that I have been exposed to in the last 30 days, which are the oligarchs, that are basically, my understanding was Putin told these people that you have no political ambition, but I'll make you very wealthy, and I'm summing up kind of the story behind them. And some of them are starting to seem very slippery in that they are, but none of them are openly condemning Putin, or not many of them. What are your thoughts around, one, the billions and billions have accumulated and funding these efforts? And also, actually, let's answer that question first of all, and then I'll go to another one.
So because of, as far as I understood, one of actions that Euro-Union and United States did, they basically arrested all those accounts, their property, their really fancy, shiny 100-meter yachts. And I believe all those money that belong to those people after our victory, all those funds will be used in order to rebuild the country, pay injured or pay people who lost their relatives. So, and technically, I read a story about one of oligarchs who fled just before the start of the war to London. And because all his money were arrested, all his accounts were arrested, he even doesn't have the possibility to get the money for cleaners to clean his apartment. Yeah.
It's a shame he has to clean himself, right?
Oh my God, yeah, of course. He's a super wealthy person that even didn't do anything in his apartment. Now he has problems. I believe that this mechanism will help oligarchs to understand that what Putin is doing is, politely saying, not correct, and maybe they will help with some kind of change or shift of power inside Russia. And I believe finally Putin gets it to hate.
Yeah. What can people do Yeah.
I just want to add that it's not just European Union or US. Australia was the first country freezing accounts. Australia is a nice place to live. So there are lots of houses, villas, yachts, and people like being here. So those people cannot come and be here and cannot use those yachts or houses or money to just chill, you know. They have to remain where they are and go to Baikal, you know, for weekend. Baikal is a nice place, but they can go. Well, there was a picture or something for Solovyov in his house near Moscow, chilling, you know. Did you see? So it wasn't in Maldives somewhere. Mm. He was at veranda of his Moscow region house. So I think they better stay there.
What can people do listening to this and what can they do practically? Not what that, you know, not say a prayer, not do or, you know, all the kind of, you know, relieve their conscience of what's going on even. What can they actually do practically? What can people do, whether it's, you know, the foreign companies that continue to operate in Russia and therefore via their taxes are funding this war? So, you know, a lot of these companies are still continuing to operate because they're chasing the mighty dollar rather than, you know, withdrawing from Russia. What can they do practically? Where can they, you know, Andrew, I know your wife has, you know, is doing a lot of support effort with people leaving Ukraine. I'm trying to help Ukrainian people at the moment get jobs in Australia. But what are the other kind of practical things that people can do to help now, to today, to when you're listening to this, to take action after it? How can they actually practically provide resource help to Ukraine?
Okay. I can start. So actually, during the like first, let's say, 3 weeks of aggression, we started our here local, because me and my wife, we're based in South Carolina, United States. And we started to collect a group of people who wills to do something, not just pray, as Mark, with all the respect. Thank you guys for your prayers. We need it as well. So we decided to do something else but prayers. We organized few rallies specifically to find people who wills to do something. Not just talking or making rallies. It's valuable thing as well, but we decided to do something that will make a difference, a bigger difference. And to be more specific, we found a group of people who participated in different markets, and we found local artists who donated all her arts, and we were able to sell those art pieces. We collected some money, and we found another person who had actually has the connection with volunteers in Ukraine who was traveling from east to west and back. So on the path from east to west, the person took people who decided to flee from war and relocate to the western part that is kind of at the moment more peaceful, I would say. Because it's anyway a dangerous place because of those missiles coming from Belarus and Russia. And on the way back, that person took food, medical aids, whatever is required in this. And that person did a lot of rides, slept a few hours a day, and we, from our side, helped that person to purchase food, to refuel his car, and help people with, like, finding places where to stay, because Western Ukraine now is overloaded. A lot of people went there. So that's what we were doing. And just the last week, myself and Alexander had a chat on what we can do in order to get more money, if you will, not only from artwork or from directly from donations, And we came up with the idea. Obviously, the best help is to do whatever you are doing the best. Myself and Alexander's and Alexander are people with a like built skill set, and we are professionals in Dynamics and Power Platform area. So we came up with the idea of not if you will, just donate money to Ukrainian funds, to some people who is doing something on the spot. But we decided, okay, donation is good, but not all the people can donate money. So the idea is following. We provide like consultancies, our consulting services to people who is struggling with pretty much anything that we can help with. It can be Power Automate, it can be something inside Dataverse, it can be Power Portals, where in this area Alexander is world well-known guru. And as a payback, you are sending money our way, and we decide to help volunteers on the spot. And it's some kind of like mutual agreement, our consultancies for donations. But the nation that are not exactly the nation that will go to our pocket, but it will help some people in Ukraine either to survive or help with medicaments or with anything that makes sense. So if anyone is interested in our services, please reach out to me or Alexander and let's establish that connection and let's keep wheel rolling.
Yeah. Once again, we'll put those details in the show note as well as where people can make donations. I know earlier on, Alexander sent me a link. I was able to make a donation in that very first week of things happening, and I saw it go through, and it was, if you're worried about whether, you know, the sources are correct, the ones that you'll have on the podcast in the show notes will be the ones that are going to drive value back in Ukraine quickly. Is there anybody else want to add anything around this? If you're looking for a structured way to enhance your career in Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform, this is for you. Enrollment for the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge April to June cohort are now open. I discovered MSCRM in 2003 and it changed the course of my life. My career in Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform has taken me all over the world, and the opportunities for people to build a career in the space today are better than ever. The 90-Day Mentoring Challenge will help you chart a path to capitalize on these opportunities and build the skills for greatness. Find out more at ako.nz365guy.com. For the first time, I'm limiting space on this cohort for a more intimate experience. So if you want to be part of it, don't wait. Enrollment will close on the 25th of March. Podcast listeners can use the code PODCAST for a 10% discount at checkout.
Yeah, if I may, we've got the local community, Ukrainian in Australia, and there's a group, Ukrainian in Sydney, and specifically they're providing food and goods, clothes, and all this necessities, for people who's, displaced and coming to Australia. About 10,000 visas were from Australia government to Ukrainians, and I don't think all people came through, but the people who is already in Australia getting help from the community, and we also have some accounts and some links to the website of the organization. I'm also part of it, and for me, I haven't got to the point that I started doing something, but I know my personal friends, we know there are lots of women with kids are fleeing because men stays to fight, for the freedom, for freedom for Ukraine. And, these, girls, women not necessarily have jobs, and I've got a couple of friends, they don't know what to do with, in the future, how to provide for their kids. And obviously I was thinking if we can organize as a community, or we maybe can get Microsoft, to help us to organize some kind of like, you know, education courses, power platform, where we can get these people some jobs. So there are people in Ukraine we need to help, and there are people outside of Ukraine. They call them displaced people, not refugees. They call them refugees, whatever. They need help as well. They need some food. They don't have, you know, the government helps them. Some government do help, but they still need jobs, and they are willing to study, and they're willing to actually work. They don't want just to consume government money. The Ukrainians are unique. I heard the stories about that Ukrainians are known for the first thing they say, then they come to Poland, to Czechoslovakia, to Germany. They say, how do we get jobs? How do we get some work? So we will start thinking how we can help them to get work. I think this is can what I we can do.
Just a few days back, I don't know. Do you know a guy? He's Ukrainian as well, but he's located here in the States in Tampa. Alexander Pechenevsky. Okay, so actually he started exactly the same initiative here at the state, but I don't think it's like related. It's limited only to people who is in the States. So you can connect with him and you can group up and make this like thing happen, because he has already started doing it. I will send.
If you don't send me your contact details.
And Alexander, we already gave Alexander thumbs up that we will join this initiative. And if people would require help with, let's say, developers to get the like skills in our area, we are willing to help.
Yeah. I would like to join as well. This is great.
I would like to add something. So I know a lot of people don't have money to donate, and they are worried what they can do. Well, luckily, we are living in democracy, and you can pressure your representative. You can write to them, and you can pressure them to provide more to Ukraine. Not just defensive weapons, but we still need those. But now, after Bucha and what happened, there is no right to not give us offensive weapons. So we can attack and push them all from Ukraine after what they've done. So, you know, write the letters, gather, and just ask them for more, because they can give us more.
Yeah. I was reading on Reddit, and a teenager said, I'm not old enough. I would love to, you know, be involved. How can I? And someone said something very interesting. They said, you can fundraise. You can go out and help educate people on what's going on. You can look at what you've got, and I summarized a couple of ways that you can help here. If you own a company or you influence people in leadership, you can create jobs that you can hire people into. You can provide clothing. What clothing do you have that you could provide? How could you provide food? How could you provide a shoulder, a friend, a connection as people come to your country that you can engage with? How can you fundraise? How can you rally? If you're involved in any user group in our great community around the world, I would challenge you to start talking about this at user group, to ask yourself the question, how can we practically help today? What can you do? Everybody has something that they could give, that they could contribute, that they could engage. It just comes down to using your mind and coming up with a great idea, but it needs to be practical. You need to pay it forward. You need to God forbid that we'd ever be in this situation ourselves in our lives, but you need to do what you would want other people to do at this time. If you're in the situation, I think that's so important that we all have something that we can contribute, can give, and engage. And I challenge everybody that listens to this that you will find some way to contribute, to engage, to our friends in another location. Guys, as we come to wrap up now, is there any final thoughts?
So I know it's hard to follow what is happening in Ukraine. I know it's become overwhelming, and especially for people that are not from Ukraine, they are hearing about it every day from every news, and it's become daunting. It's become hard, and you become numb to what's happening. But it's harder to people in Ukraine because, as Mark said, you know, we cannot turn this off. This is what our life is, and this is what it will be. So I'm just asking to please follow Ukrainians, please share news, and everyone need to know, and everybody need to remember, because it's just too easy to say, okay, it's just happening, and I don't want to have anything to do with it, but it is happening. And there are actual people's lives that are at stakes right now. So, you know, just don't turn away, please.
Andrew?
Yeah, I just want to say exactly the same that Alexander said. Just don't stay aside. If you can be involved in some way, do something. Just make the difference. Make the difference. And because otherwise, if you're watching back in your life and you're understanding that you were able to do something, but you did nothing, it is better to regret. We are saying it is better to regret that you did something than you did not.
Elena?
Yeah, I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who's supporting us, already doing lots of things to help us. And thank you very much, Mark, for inviting us and giving us this opportunity to speak and to talk about Ukraine.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 Guy. If there's a guest you'd like to see on the show, please message me on LinkedIn. If you want to be a supporter of the show, please check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365Guy. Stay safe out there and shoot for the stars. Before you go, a quick reminder that the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge kicks off on the 1st of April. Every cohort, I hear people say that surely this group has been the best one ever. The true magic of the 90-Day Mentoring Challenge is the connections formed between a group of people who are committed to learning with and from each other. Will you be part of the best cohort yet? Use the code PODCAST for 10% off at checkout. Visit ako.nz365guy.com to see a detailed curriculum and hear what past participants have to say about the challenge. I can't wait to help you discover the unique value you bring to the community and just how far you can take your career.